our special guest now, Stephen Bassett, Disclosure 2009. Stephen, by the way, will be out in Las Vegas this Friday through Sunday at the UFO Crash Retrieval Conference. I'll be out there on Friday night. Stephen will be part of the program that we're having, by the way, live with Linda Moulton Howe as well. But when we come back, we're going to talk with Stephen in depth on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen Bassett, a leading advocate for ending the 60-year government-imposed truth embargo regarding extraterrestrial presence in the human race. He is a political activist, lobbyist, commentator. Stephen is the founder of the Paradigm Research Group and the executive director of the Extraterrestrial Phenomena Political Action Committee. He is also the executive producer of the X Conference, wonderful conference set out there in the Washington, D.C. area, and has appeared on hundreds of radio and television talk shows, documentaries delivering the message of disclosure. He's been a guest with me on my local shows in the old days, and here he is back again on Coast to Coast. Stephen, how are you?
Hi, George. It's great to be with you this evening.
Likewise. Looking forward to meeting you Friday again, too, my friend. Always a pleasure.
It's going to be a great time in Vegas.
Absolutely. Tell me about the Million Facts in Washington for UFO disclosure. How's that coming?
Well, let me say this first, very quickly.
All right.
You know, since I did my first Coast to Coast AM in the roughly the fall of 1997 with Art Bell, since then I've done maybe, I don't know, 30 appearances on Coast to Coast.
Easy. Yeah.
And I can honestly say that this tonight is the most significant of any of those appearances because of what is going on. Big things are coming. And to put it in the fewest words as possible, we are on the verge of major, major dramatic changes in not only in this country but in the world. We're clearly on the verge of one of the most important elections in our lifetime, if not the most important. And regardless of who wins this election, I anticipate dramatic things happening in policy and politics next year right off the bat, particularly if the Democrats win. And that's just for starters. We all already know that we've got unprecedented financial stuff happening and changes and international stuff and, of course, environmentally. All this stuff, it's been coming to a head for a long time, and now we are right on the threshold. And what is really cool is that the American people have a potential to play an incredible role in this. And I'm not just referring to the election. Obviously, they're going to go elect somebody on Tuesday, and that's playing a role without question. But there's
maybe unless the Supreme Court stays the election for my first hour guest.
Oh, Lord, spare us from that.
Gosh.
So, but there is another part of this where the American people can play a role that, frankly, in my humble opinion, is even more profound. And here's the deal. We are right on the edge of disclosure. The acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence by the American government or another government. We've been kind of on that precipice for some time, but now it's really, really close. There are many reasons for this. I could spend all night talking about them, but I'm going to keep it short. But in a nutshell, I entered the field in July 1996, and right at about the time the Rockefeller Initiative was wrapping up, where Lawrence Rockefeller was trying to persuade Bill Clinton to be the disclosure president, basically. And there were meetings and books and research papers that were done, and stuff was going on for 3 years. And it was very possible that he could have done it and would have done it. I actually didn't learn about that until just a little bit later. The Clinton administration, of course, as we know, was very unusual. And he was not in the favor of the military intelligence community. They were very resistant of him maybe going ahead. Nevertheless, the pressure kept mounting all the way through 96 and 97 and 98 and 99, and I believed that we likely could have had it in the Clinton administration. In fact, when I entered the field and came on Art Bell at night, I really thought we were about 4 years out. Within 4 years, this thing was going to be finally resolved.
I remember that because you were in the process. I remember you telling me that you were putting together a national Washington Post ad. You had some heavy hitters.
That was what we were going to do, right? That was an initial project.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There were many things we wanted to do, and we did some of them, didn't do some of the others. But things were marching along. Without question, one of the key driving forces was Coast to Coast because the show had become really started becoming popular, and it was open to this issue and was bringing on all the people that were involved. on every level, and eventually in the political side of it as well. And with that fundamental audience out there, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 million, it just guaranteed that, and the time that you could talk, right? I mean, I do a CNN, I got, what, 4 minutes, but I could come on Coast to Coast, talk for 2 hours.
Absolutely.
And so it was literally driving the issue. And I thought it was going to happen, but it didn't. And probably the principal reason is the Republicans made a commitment that they were going to try to bring Clinton down. Monica Lewinsky emerged, the indictment was handed down, the impeachment was in the works, and that shut it down, and it did not happen. And now it's 8 years later, amazingly enough, and what has happened in those 8 years is, well, one thing, we got distracted into some heavy stuff, wars, terrorist attacks, and all that, which sort of eliminated the possibility of something happening in this last administration. But also during that time, the pressure on this truth embargo, on this decision by the government to embargo the reality of the ET presence from their people, has grown and grown and grown. It's like the magma underneath Yellowstone National Park. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And the pressure builds up enough, that stuff breaks through, and you got yourself one hell of a volcano. Well, that's exactly what's happening to truth embargo. The pressure underneath it has grown in so many ways. And so here we are with a new administration coming in, which everybody considers seminal change, and change is the word been thrown around all this time. And then, and this is something I'm going to get out right away, I want your listeners to hear this now, so they can go to factsonwashington.org or paradigmresearchgroup.org and your site, and switch over, whatever, and kind of tap into this. But you may recall that during the Rockefeller Initiative, one of the key individuals was John Podesta, who was a key advisor to the president, watched the Rockefeller Initiative go on the whole time. He was a huge
Clinton
fan.
To Clinton, right.
That's right, the Clinton administration. And Clinton, while he didn't go directly at the issue, he did do something. He talked about it. He came out in some of his speeches, but he also assigned John Podesta to try to revitalize or improve the declassification of government documents so more could get released. And he did exactly that, but it wasn't with an UFO emphasis, right? So John was right there, all right? And then he became chief of staff during those final 4 years when really couldn't go anywhere because of the scandals. He left. And then in 2002 and 2003, he appeared at the National Press Club as part of the announcement of the Coalition for Freedom of Information, which was funded by the Sci-Fi Channel to start pursuing the issue, lobbying, I guess you could say, for the issue in Washington, right? And they hired a big-time law firm. They hired John Podesta's brother's firm, Podesta Mattoon, to be the public relations. And John appeared at that press conference, stood in front of the cameras, and said, it's time for the government to release all the documents. It's time for the truth to be out there. The people can handle the truth. He did this in 2002,
huge.
And he repeated it again in 2003, as you know.
Yeah.
He was never challenged on it. He was never attacked. Videos are still on YouTube. It's been publicized extensively. And then in 2004, Bill Richardson, a big player in the Democratic Party, he basically says the Roswell explanation doesn't cut water, puts it in writing in the Roswell Dig Diaries. They thought they were going to win in 2004. They didn't. So things kind of quieted down again. And now 4 more years go by. John Podesta has still never been taken to task on literally coming out for UFO disclosure, in a sense, bringing all the documents out. Richardson has not been taken to task. The Democratic Party has not been challenged. Neither has Hillary Clinton, who, as you know, almost became a candidate on the ticket, either VP or the presidential slot, right. And she's hooked to the Rockefeller Initiative all across the Internet. And so that brought us to the last days of this campaign. And something major happened, which most of your audience probably didn't pick up on, but I sure did, and that's this.
We'll lay it out there.
John Podesta was appointed the head of Barack Obama's presidential transition team, and he actually wrote a sample inaugural address as part of that process, and he will be, of course, handling the transition as the head of his team through that 77 days after the election, should Barack Obama win. Now, folks, I'm not trying to be a prophet here. I don't prophesize stuff. I just analyze and look at it. But let's be real clear. A man who has twice publicly called for the release of all UFO documents, who is fully aware of the Rockefeller Initiative, who has never challenged the veracity of the ET presence, who has never been attacked for it, right, who went on to found a major think tank, which is going to be a major part of the strategies of the next Democratic administration should they win. In spite of all of that connection to the issue, he was appointed the head of the president's transition team. There is no clearer message that could possibly be sent. The Democrats are planning disclosure if they win. And I think the Republicans have no choice either, because so many other governments now are putting incredible pressure on the United States.
Oh, the reports a week and a half ago from the Brits.
Yes.
Absolutely staggering reports.
Absolutely. And you know something? You know, it's not an accident that they're releasing them in time release fashion. So like every so many months, they dump more documents, guaranteeing more press, right? And we have another news cycle
about
it. And
they're huge stories. You know, a military officer, a U.S. pilot, saying he was ordered to shoot down a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
Unload all your missiles, they told him. And he said this thing took off at 10,000 miles an hour. It
had
was
a blip
gone.
On his radar the size of an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
He's still alive. He's being interviewed by the Miami Herald down in Miami, Milton
yeah.
Forest.
Yes.
Now, we've had other witnesses come forward. You know that, George. But when it's part of a release of more classified documents from a major first world country like the U.K., it generates press. Edgar Mitchell generated a huge news cycle recently in London.
Yes.
The French are continuing to release documents. The message these countries are sending is that the United States if the United States does not finally end the truth embargo, one of them is going to, and then we'll just have to go along for the ride. That's enormous pressure to put on the next administration, which, when it comes into office, has the luxury of being able to say, look, we're just finding out about this, or we've been briefed, I've been briefed, and so forth, and I think it's time to go ahead. And they get all the credit. They don't get much of the liabilities, particularly in Obama, who's innocent on the issue. Now, if they sit on it for a couple of years, it becomes their truth embargo, doesn't it? And so if they're going to act, they're going to act early in the administration in the spring. Now, there's other signs that I'm seeing, but what I'm saying very clearly, I'm not predicting that something's going to happen on a certain day. That's not good. I'm saying that the window of opportunity is open wider than it's ever been, and there's an extremely good chance that there is a building commitment within certain parts of the government, including the high-end think tank people of the Democratic Party, to end this truth embargo finally after 61 years. But
And if the Republicans get in, are we going to have any disclosure?
The Republicans... We know less about what their plans are because they play their cards much closer to the chest. But we do know this. John McCain has got plenty of intense connections, high-level connections in both the military and the intelligence community. I believe he's in the know. And the pressure on our government from the UK, from France, from Mexico, from Brazil, and other nations, and China, by the way, which supports UFO research, and I think would love the legacy of being the nation to finally bring this out, is just as great on the Republican Party as it is on the Democratic Party. And so I think they have to act as well. And John has, how would you say, a favorability rating fairly high with the military and the intelligence, mm-hmm. which is good because they want a post-disclosure president who is somebody they can work with. So I think that Republicans or Democrats, but I just happen to know more about the particulars and the people involved in the Democratic Party, which confirms to me that something is about to happen. But, and here's the huge but. If we know anything about politicians today, is their feet turn to clay at a moment's notice. And somebody's always blowing something up or invading another country. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the market crashes.
Diversion,
and so,
diversion, diversion.
Exactly. We can't let that happen. We have to seal the deal. And we have the perfect opportunity to do it. And that's why I launched the Million Facts on Washington. It's a supremely simple idea. Between November the 5th, the day after the election.
Yeah,
and
you don't want it right now. You want it right after the election. Right?
Well, we want as much front-loading as possible. But we're okay. going to continue to promote this right through to inauguration, 77 days, right? But we want to put 1 million letters are the best, absolute best, most powerful, always opened, always read. Or faxes, if you can get them through, it's not going to be easy. Or emails, they're better than nothing. 1 million correspondences into the president-elect's office between November 5 and January 20. And all of that information, exactly how to do it, couldn't be couldn't be more simple, is on factsonwashington.org. All right? Obviously, we have the office in question is the senatorial office of either Obama or McCain. They're going to stay senators through the end of the year. Initially, that's their office. So it's going to go to their senatorial office, and that's right up on the website. Later in November, they're going to open a transition office, and that information will go up, and we'll start shifting the correspondences to there. If the American people can step up to the plate right now and send a simple 2 or 3 paragraph letter to the president-elect saying 4 key points. One, you must demand and receive full briefings from the military intelligence heads. No ifs, ands, or buts. Two, you must press the Congress to take full testimony from the witnesses and hold the open congressional hearings we've needed for so long. And three, you need to disclose. You need to announce the ET presence. And finally, four, we need that technology. We need you to bring that extraterrestrial-derived technology, researched and re-engineered for 60 years with unlimited black budget funding in underground laboratories. We need it now. We got too many problems to keep those kinds of assets hidden away because an embargo is too precious to end. These are the key points. You put those points in a letter, and on the 5th of November, you walk on down to the post office, you drop it in the box. Now, everybody knows that one letter to a president or to the newspaper doesn't really make a difference. We all know that. You send a letter, what the hell, right? Makes you feel good. Understand. But if you know that on that day or over the next 77 days, tens if not hundreds of thousands of your fellow countrymen are also putting their letter in that box, the combination of that collective action could seal the deal and get us disclosure in the spring of next year, and that is where we're at right now.
If the disclosure comes, Stephen, how do you think they will tell us?
Well, as I said in an open letter to Barack Obama and John McCain, which has been published to the Internet, it's out there. You can go find it easily. It's on my websites, right? You jump over to my websites from coast to coast, and you can see the open letter. Essentially, and I think it's already happening, frankly, the Democrats now, let's talk about the Democrats right now. They are leading, all right, substantially.
They are leading.
They should already be making contacts with some of their military and intelligence, you know, allies within the government. You know, some initial queries, right, some phone calls during the transition team. And then once the new president takes office, they would then go ahead and arrange meetings with the president, the president's representatives, and the members of the cross-agency committees that are managing this issue. You know, apocryphally, it's called MJ-12. There's probably more than one, whatever. Then you meet with them, work out the basic details, come to a decision, and then quickly, because they can't allow it to leak, go ahead and execute what would be a disclosure event. Now, what does that mean? It means that the president would announce an important announcement is coming from the government. There's going to be a press conference with very significant people there. The press will be able to ask questions. They will cut to that press conference held in an appropriate place. And then the moderator, not the president, this is my guess. I'm guessing that a second person, nonpartisan, will be the one that actually makes the announcement, not the president, because I don't want to over-politicize it. That moderator will actually effectuate disclosure by saying in a few words something along these lines, that the United States government has known for 60-some years that we have been engaged by extraterrestrial beings, non-human beings from other places. We elected to withhold that from you and not acknowledge it for national security reasons. But we believe now we can tell you about this, and we are doing so today.
Amazing. I could say maybe like right or wrong, we thought you would panic and security reasons, and so we held back.
They had great reasons. And the biggest one, look, we were facing a Cold War, nuclear missiles, unstable world. We didn't know what they were doing. We didn't know where they were from. We needed time. And then as the years went by, we had a crisis in Berlin. We had a Cuban missile crisis in 62. The Cold War just got worse and worse. It just wasn't advisable. But, of course, the Cold War ended 17 years ago.
Stephen, we're going to take this break. We'll come back and talk more. I'd like you to tell me if they do disclose like this. How much will they tell us? I mean, will they tell us about reverse engineering? Will they tell us about contact? We'll find out in just a moment with Stephen Bassett. Next hour, Stephen will be with us. We'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Stephen Bassett with us. Also, our mending wishes go to John Lear, Stephen, who's also a member of the NighthawkZone.com group. But you know our dear friend John Lear. He had apparently emergency spinal cord surgery a few weeks ago, and he's on the hurting mend. So let's wish him well and throw some prayers his way. Absolutely. Now, in this disclosure, if and when it comes, will they explain what they know, what we've been doing, reverse engineering, ET contact, what you see up there in the sky, folks, could be ET, but they also are ours. How far will they go?
All right, I'm going to answer that question, but let me make it clear that we're not going to get any of that information until the acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence has been made, which is, in fact, disclosure. Without that, we're not going to get that information. We have to get that first, which is what the focus of everything we're talking about tonight is about, to get that acknowledgement. That's the disclosure event. Now, and that's what we're asking the people to write Washington, write their president-elect facts on Washington.org and do. Once that takes place, and it'll take all of 60 seconds, moderator will say, there's extraterrestrial presence, we've known about it, couldn't tell you. That's it. It's done.
Then questions. Everybody stands up.
Everybody, their mouths are kind of hanging up a little bit. After that, and the months that follow, will be one of the most amazing, extraordinary times, certainly, that any group of people, generation of people will ever experience. And so many things will be going on, we couldn't even begin to discuss it all. But one of the things that would be going on would be a kind of a tug of war between the people, not just American people, but the people of most of the first world nations, certainly, and the governments to get more information. And the media will be in the middle, right?
Yes.
Pretty much on our side this time because the cat will be out of the bag, right? And they don't have to play ball with the government anymore because it's a done deal. And the question is, what will we learn? How fast will we learn it? How comprehensive will it be? What will they withhold? Well, this is going to be determined by this back and forth between the people and the government and the representatives. The Congress is going to exert some influence. The president will be under pressure. The press will do its thing. And so the information will emerge. But I can assure you several things. Pretty confident that, one, some things are going to be held back, guaranteed, for national security reasons. And they're going to say so. Right? We can't tell you that. That's national security. The second thing I can say is they're going to go about it in a way which makes them look as good as possible. I don't begrudge them that. So they're going to tell us, you know, as we ask those, as those questions get asked, they will bring out information that will be constructive and positive and will be kind of cool to hear. We'll be getting that. And then there's some things they won't tell us. And this will go on for a while. And there'll be some resistance and some back and forth. But eventually in time, the tough questions are going to come up. Now, is that a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months? I don't know. That'll depend on how things go. But, the questions are going to come up. And the technology question will come up right away. And I think that's intentional. They want that to come up because we've got to get that tech. To get that tech. The rest of the stuff is almost secondary to that. Eventually the questions are going to come up about, well, have you cut any deals with them? Have you interacted with them formally? Then there's going to be questions about, are those contact experiences we've been hearing about true? Are abductions really taking place? What's going on? Those questions will come too. And a lot of other ones. But they won't come immediately, right? And the information is going to be brought out and rolled out kind of in a somewhat cohesive and logical way. Are people going to be unhappy? Sure. There's going to be, again, this tug of war, and it might even get fairly intense. But the point is that information will be coming out, and it isn't necessary to learn everything right away for us to start moving forward as a civilization, as a race, knowing exactly how the world really is. And I am pretty confident that this post-disclosure process will actually be pretty cool and is going to be a very little, and won't be that much about it that's going to be upsetting or particularly destructive. I think it'll be mostly positive. People are going to be extraordinarily excited, and the government's going to be enhanced because this is a big truth. This is a biggie. And hearing that truth, having that process, people are going to start to believe the government has finally gotten out of the lying business. It's finally got into the reality business and started to treat them like adults. That will help to start improving government standing, which, as you know, has reached levels so low.
It's so low.
You can't find
it. You can't
right?
look at it. That's right.
And that will produce other benefits. And then, of course, the technology, which it's brought forward, is going to be offer promise to other nations who are facing enormous issues. And we can say, look, we've developed it. We're going to do more. We're going to make this available to you. That's going to raise our standing. Let me point out something else. By the way, anybody that doesn't thinks I'm blowing smoke here on John Podesta, all you got to do is go to Google and Google John Podesta UFO. That's all you got to do. Enough said. Then if you want to learn about Transition Team, Google John Podesta Transition Team. All right? It's all right there. Okay? So we are going to be and have the opportunity to finally end a six-decade kind of stalemate that has bottled up, I think, the whole planet, not just the American people, and open up a new world, right, that probably very likely will go well, but nevertheless, it has to go. We simply cannot live in a false reality, and we certainly can't live in a government that's so tangled up in its lies and games and deception that it doesn't know which way is up and down. And we're seeing the consequences of that. So the American people, at this point, if they were to say, look, let's act collectively. Look, you have, what, 5, 6, 8 million people in your audience?
It ranges every week, you know, but it's big.
These people know what's going on. They've been following this issue for decades. If just 1/8 of them, just 1 million of the people in your audience tonight were to say, I'm going to write a letter and or a fax and or an email, preferably a letter, 2 or 3 paragraphs, nothing long. We don't need anything long. But I send it to the president-elect, whose office is the senatorial office, whoever it is, address is faxonwashington.org, you can find it. And I'm going to say I want disclosure. I can handle the truth. I need to know. I have a right to know, and I want that. If that they did, it's, I believe that it will create a major media event. Now, we structured this. I launched this thing on October the 1st so we would have a whole month to build up interest and have people write their letters in advance so they could just go drop it in the mail once they knew who the president was.
And you prefer mail as opposed to the emails and faxes, right?
Here's the – well, look.
You'll take it any way you get.
I will take it, but you know, mail – you know what's something about mail? George, you're going to love this.
It's like Miracle on 34th Street. Remember the courtroom scene?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's even better than that, because after a president wins an election, guess what? Lots of people send the party money. They send it to the president-elect, campaign contributions, pay off the debts. And so a lot of those letters are got money. So guess what, George? Every single letter gets opened and checked.
They want right. Those checks, don't they?
Every single one. And so I have a press release going out right now. It's going out all this weekend, and it'll also go out Monday, alerting the press in Washington to look for these letters, faxes, and emails. And so the idea is for the press to go and see this, the initial, how would you say, wave of the stuff, right? Because we don't need a lot. If just 20 or 30,000 would get something in the mail on the 5th, by the time it clears security screening, gets in around the 12th, it comes in a giant wave. They're going to be waiting for it, and they're going to be seeing these big bags, and they're going to start reading some of it. It'll generate news. Now, that news we can use to leverage more correspondence throughout November and December and January to go for that million mark. Right? Now, this thing is being promoted internationally. International press releases have gone out. There is a Facebook group page called Million Facts on Washington. Right? It's already building up members.
You are organized. Man.
We've seeded this thing all throughout Facebook. You know, Facebook has 100 million active users.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. That, MySpace, all those things.
Incredible. Absolutely. And they're connected, you know, by 6 degrees of separation, right? Friends are friends are friends are friends are friends. They could generate 150,000 right there. But there is no more appropriate audience than your audience. They have been listening on this issue forever, and now they have it in their power to send a message so stark and clear, the media will go nuts. It will create enormous pressure on the president-elect. It might trigger questions to the president-elect throughout that transition period, which is fairly slow news-wise. And they're going to be – and it's also – here's something else, George. It's going to send a message – to those in government, down in the intelligence and military compartments that deal with this issue, it's going to send a clear message to them that those of you that are supporting going forward, it's okay. We want you to. We're
you know, Stephen, they've got to address the alien abduction phenomenon, too.
Eventually they will, George. And look, I've said many times, you know, some of the things we're going to learn are going to be disturbing, and some of the things are going to be extraordinary. But I got to tell you, the vast majority of all people are just going to be electrified and excited, and they're going to be looking at the future and the possibilities of going to the stars and that energy that could change the world and all of this stuff, and they're going to be very excited. And so, yes, some of the more unpleasant stuff and some of the disturbing stuff will come out, and, yes, it will have to be dealt with. But it's not as if the people are all going to get all upset because there is some negative here. They're going to be focusing, and I say to people, I'm talking about 6 billion human beings, are going to be focused on the implications of this. I am not concerned about a post-disclosure fiasco. I am more concerned about the fiascos that have been happening and are continue to happen if we continue to lie to the American people and all peoples about the way the world works. We got plenty of fiascos, right? We need truth. Truth is the solution to fiascos. This is the big one. This is the mother of all truths. And I believe the Democrats have already, in a sense, made a decision to go ahead barring the unknown factor. By the way, I've talked about this before. I talked about it on your show. The Democrats planned a long time ago to execute, if they should win, a major New Deal program along the lines of FDR, only modern version, super high-tech, generating all kinds of jobs in the environmental technology development industry, hiring hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of engineers. It was originally launched under the name of New Apollo Project in 2004 at the National Press Club. I was there. All of the usual left-of-center organizations were there, including John Podesta. They thought they were going to win that election. That's why Richardson spoke out. That's why Podesta was willing to go in front of the cameras, but they lost that election. So they had to kind of bunker up. And the New Apollo Project was shelved, though it was parked at a website called the ApolloAlliance.org. So go to ApolloAlliance.org, and you'll see what they have planned. Now, did they talk about this in the election? No, because modern elections in America are this way. You can't say anything.
You can't say it. You know, running for Congress in Maryland, what happened? You can't push this issue publicly until you're in.
Well, I can. I did. I could, but the party can't.
Well, you did, but you didn't win. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I had no chance to win. It's like Joe Buckman. You know, I ran in 2002. Now you got a fellow, Dr. Joe Buckman. He is now the next guy that did this. He is running as a Libertarian candidate. He's on the ballot in the first district of Utah as a Libertarian candidate. He's getting some good press. He's talking openly about the issue, right? So there's going to be more of that. There's going to be more of that stuff. So, but the politicians today can't really get out and say, here's what we're going to do, because then they get attacked. So they have to put it in, they have to couch it in obscure stuff and talk around the issues. Of course, American people hate that. And so you haven't heard the Apollo Project mentioned. But let me tell you, that's their plan. It will reverse the trade balance, put tons of people to work, generate all kinds of manufacturing jobs. They're going to probably pass a law that requires that all the manufacturing of any of this new tech has to be in the United States or they don't get the money. Plus, they'll pass a law they have to hire American. This is the plan. But the problems we face are so enormous that even a project like the New Apollo Project, an FDR-type New Deal, is not enough unless they have another ace in the hole. And what is that ace in the hole? What if you could drop into that New Deal high-tech development program subsidized by the government to generate vast amounts of new jobs and businesses, and you dropped into that mix technology that has been reverse engineered for 60 years that is transcendent in the areas of energy and propulsion, and you bring that out, now you have transformative power, and you will change the world. So when you combine the political, the technology, and the worldview change that the ET thing represents, and the problems we face, you're looking at possibly the spring of 2009 being the absolutely most amazing period in American history, right? And it's right there. But governments are fickle, and they don't have a lot of steel, and there's too many things going on. And I'm sick and tired of every time we get close to doing something meaningful, somebody blows something up, and everybody immediately runs for cover and takes everything off the table. We can't keep doing this, George. It's nuts. And so I don't care what gets blown up. We have got to have disclosure. And the way we can make sure that happens is that we need 1 million of your audience to spend 20 minutes and write three paragraphs to the president-elect on a simple piece of paper saying we want disclosure, we want hearings, we want that technology.
So you want us to get it ready. Ready to
get
go.
It ready. That's right. Doesn't
mail it out Wednesday morning, right?
And then Wednesday morning, you address it to whoever. The address is right on factsonwashington.org or on the government website, senate.gov. It's the government. It'll be the senatorial office of the president. Now, I've got the fax number there. It's going to be hard to get through. Got the email page, you know, the special page they use. If that's what you do, fine. But letters have the power. They are the real power. You can do all three. Send a letter, send a fax, send an email. Love it. But have that ready to go. And you put a 42-cent stamp on. You walk down to the box and you drop it in that box on Wednesday morning. morning or Wednesday afternoon. And if you believe that the rest of the coast-to-coast audience is doing the same thing, when those letters hit Washington, D.C., it will turn this town on its ear. And the media, which, as you know, is starting to cover this issue heavily, big news cycles over the U.K. documents, over Edgar Mitchell, over O'Hare, Stevensville, they're trying.
And we've got Stephen Bassett with us. We're going to take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen, before calls, what about the possibility of this false flag we keep hearing, this phony UFO announcement, in order to create more problems on this planet?
Well, the simple fact is the trust in government now is so bad. 9% for Congress, about 14% for the political media, and 27% for the president. That people are deeply suspicious of anything it does.
Anything.
And so given the magnitude of this, I can understand why those would be very concerned. It's been brought up. People have written about it. Sure, if you've got electrogravitic and a gravitic craft that you can fly at will, and they were to appear somewhere and blow something up, well, it's not a hard sell, you know, that those nasty ETs did that. Here's what I have to say. I've been at this for 12 years, talked to an awful lot of people, researchers inside, outside, and everything else. And I do not see any evidence that I consider substantive and probative pointing to such an attempt by the government to do that. I just don't see it. If I did, I would say so. Right?
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that as disclosure gets close, that somebody in some room somewhere down there in the bowels of Washington, D.C. doesn't raise their hand and say, you know, why don't we take a moment here and think about what we might be able to do with this thing? I believe they'll be shouted down. But, hey, if it happens, we've never been better prepared. We got the Internet. We've got news media all over the place. The issue has been out there for a very long time. So if they want to make that move, well, I guess they can try. But I got a feeling we'll have it picked apart and disassembled in 48 hours. But nevertheless, we have to be alert, and I'm going to be alert, and I will call it as I see it. But I don't see it. I think that they're going to play it straight, George, and I certainly hope they do.
All right, to the phones we go then. East of the Rockies, we've got you, Jerry, in Kentucky, on with Stephen Bassett. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning or afternoon, whichever it is.
Sure thing.
I actually thought of another question. The first one was, how long do you think it'll take to have animal mutilations in some way explained? In other words, will that come out early on or very late on in the process?
Well, getting back to what I was saying, I think the uncomfortable stuff like animal mutilations, if in fact they're ET in origin, they certainly seem that way, abductions, that kind of thing, that's going to be later, right? It doesn't mean the questions won't get asked, but they'll avoid them. So hold that stuff off until we've got now, I guess you could say, the good stuff that will get people excited and looking ahead, and then they can bring some of that other material out and it'll get dealt with. But ultimately, it all will get dealt with, all right? And there's something else here that's more complicated to speak to. I'll try to be very brief, and that's this. We got a major problem because of the huge military intelligence structures that were built up starting in the 40s. Soviet Union had the same problem. Germany had that. East Germany had that problem. China, to some degree. It's out of control. It needs desperately to be reformed, but almost nothing is being done about it. This will give us the best chance to open up that secret empire, as I call it, and do some reform, and provide oversight, restructure, probably reduction in size. If we don't take advantage of this opportunity, we're making a huge mistake. So the dealing with those structures and reforming so that we get away from the national security states and the surveillance states that are coming our way, and we get proper oversight of these structures to protect ourselves against losing our freedoms. This is part and parcel with the disclosure event, because there's no other event, no other change that could remotely give us the kind of access that this event will give us, because the efforts to reform these structures have been absolutely without almost any effect. And the secret empire has got to be reformed. I'm not condemning the people that have run the military intelligence community. I'm simply saying it's too big, it's too large, it is not properly oversought. And that has to change. And so that's another opportunity we're going to have if we can get disclosure done in the spring.
John, Long Island, New York. Hey, John, thanks for calling. Go ahead, John. Good.
My question to you, Steve, is it sounds kind of crazy, but, you know, any of the ex-presidents will say it could be Reagan, Carter, it could be JFK, it could be anybody. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't they have their own private army and actually raid Area 51? You think that would actually solidify a second term? And I don't know if it's treason or what it could be, but why wouldn't they do that?
Well, it would be treason. We don't operate that way in America, thank goodness. Over the years, one of the things we've learned, Grant Cameron, of course, the leading researcher in this area, presidentialufo.com, it's all there. In fact, Grant and I have got a book. It's two publishers are looking at right now in New York about presidents and the UFO issue. Hopefully it'll get picked up and we'll get it out. Over the years, we've learned that some presidents are told more than others. That's disturbing. We've learned that some presidents are told more if they're of the right political party. All right? That's disturbing. And some possibly have been told nothing at all. That's not good, right? And so the president, without cooperation of the military intelligence community, really is almost impossible for them to take action. And there's all kinds of stories here involving Kennedy and an effort he might have made and what have you. The president is not all-powerful. And so anytime you have a section of the government capable of playing that game, it's a dangerous place to be. And we have been there, and we need to get away from that. We need president. If we're going to spend the $5 billion electing the Congress and the president, that's how much it's going to cost this year. If we're going to go through 2 years of listening to these stump speeches, then by God, the president ought to get into office and have power to do something, right? And not suddenly be beholden to, quote, unaccounted for cabals of individuals working in the basements of buildings in Washington, D.C. So we need to get away from that. And that's part parcel of, again, what we need to do starting in the spring of next year.
Stephen, what drives Stephen Bassett? I mean, you know, you're not becoming a zillionaire doing this. Well, you know that. I know that. I mean, if you break even on conferences, you're lucky. You do it for a passion. What drives you?
This thing isn't about me, George. There's a whole bunch of people involved. It's a movement developing. I ended up kind of in the front of the thing, and fine, somebody needs to be out there. But this is political activism. The same thing that drives me is what drove the women to try to get women the right to vote and start a women's empowerment movement starting in the late 1900s and early 20th century. It's the same thing that drove the civil rights leaders and other activist movements that we all know about. There are huge political and social issues here. This country is in deep trouble, and I feel I can make a difference. Every political activist, I think, feels that way. I'm also committed to nonviolence. Violence doesn't work. And once you get into it, and once you get going, and you see the progress being made, and you have opportunities, it becomes your life. And you don't get any money. I've lost, you don't know how much money I've lost. But my payment comes from the many, many people who contact me all the time, and they're so happy that someone is moving forward with this, that's taking it out there. And I'm, again, there are many other people I'm working with, many websites, all part of this. That's the kind of currency we work on, but we still are going to have to have funding. And believe me, post-disclosure, I'm going to try to raise as much money as possible so that we can have the funds to, quote, be part of and be a player in the post-disclosure world. But right now we need people power, all right? And the role of an activist is to give people a sort of a template by which they can act together. Right, that's been the truth of every activist movement in history. And right now, again, I can't emphasize this enough, we have this unbelievable opportunity where if enough people were to act in concert to get some correspondence to Washington, D.C., to the president-elect at this particular time, during that transition period, it would be the right lever at the right spot with enough force behind it to move that mountain. And this window of opportunity may not come again for a while. And it's a simple thing to do, a letter in the box. And if you don't get it out right away, don't worry. We're going to be marketing this all the way through the end of the year and into January. It's going to be constant, and we're hoping to get 1 million. But we don't need 1 million right away. We need 20, 30, 40,000 letters to come in strong right off the bat.
Stephen, when you're with us on the Friday night show at the UFO Crash Retrieval Conference in Las Vegas,
right,
during your segment, perfect opportunity for you once again to tell everybody to do this.
Oh, yeah, and I'll update your audience about what's going on. Plus, I should mention that after the UFO Crash Retrieval Conference, UFOconference.com, I'm going to be appearing in Sedona on the 12th of November, a few days later, at the Creative Life Center there, 7 p.m., and I'll be updating people, you know, in Sedona, our good friends there. I know you have a lot of listeners there, about what's going on, and we'll be talking about some of these issues. Got some PowerPoint, going to have a friend named Victoria Pratt Keating, who's a national recording artist. She's going to be singing some songs she's written specifically for these issues, right? It could be a wonderful evening at Sedona Creative Life Center at 7 p.m. on Wednesday as well.
Excellent. Let's go to Michael in Texas. You're on with Stephen Bassett. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George. Good morning, Steve. How are you guys?
Good morning.
I just want to know, like, after all these years of secrecy, would the government be willing to share, like, their technology with energy and other stuff like that, and instead of going toward wind power and solar power? Do you think that they would move in that direction?
They have to. There's nothing wrong with wind and solar power. There's plenty wrong with biofuel. I hate biofuel. It's a disaster. But we need to develop those things, but we need to do far more than that. And they, as you know, every day we're told about another major problem we're facing: melting polar ice caps, holes in the ozone, melting tundra. Now, the Pentagon warns us we're going to have wars over water and food and terrorism on the rise because of lack of resources. We're told all these things. We're scared to death. But where are the solutions? When you listen to the solutions they try to mutter, they're useless. We need something big. Well, those craft are capable of operating non-inertially, traveling at tens of thousands of miles an hour, hovering at will, 30 foot across, without a lot of space. Imagine a semi-tractor trailer that could do that. That would be one serious engine in that truck, wouldn't it? They've been working on it for 60 years. There's evidence they've made progress. We have films of them flying, probably their own versions, over some bases. There's all kinds of hints that have turned up, plus some witnesses that have come forward. I believe they've made substantial progress on the anti-gravitic drives propulsion and on the energy, whatever it is, quantum field, zero point, I don't care. I just know that it gives us a lot more BTUs for the buck than a can of kerosene. You know what I'm saying? So if people like the idea of maybe 50-cent gasoline for a while we make the transition, if they like the idea of heating their home for a whole month in New Hampshire for $8 a month or something, they need to get down and write a letter to the president-elect and get it in a box on the 5th of November, because that technology is transformative. And if they haven't perfected it completely, then I would suggest it might help if we had the benefit of the intellectual resources of the rest of the 6 billion people on the planet. You know what I'm saying? Right? And get them to work on it and see what we've got. But right now, and I can say this with high confidence, the only reason that that technology is not being in play right now to solve our problems is because they could not bring it out without ending the truth embargo, and they couldn't end the truth embargo. End the truth embargo, get the tech, right? That's why I have married up, in my mind, I think the Democrats have married up strategically disclosure with the new Apollo project, because when you put the two together, you've got yourself an unbelievable potential change agent there. And if they're smart, they're going to play that card, but we have to make sure they play that card. That's why I need your audience, George, to act now and write that letter, get it ready to go sometime in the next 77 days, but I need a lot of them in the mail on the 5th or 6th.
Tennessee, Philip, take it away. Go, Philip. Hi.
Hey, George, this is Philip from Tennessee. Sure. I'd like to ask your guest, what does he think the religious implications would be for something like this, this disclosure? I mean, he's saying a lot of stuff about what would be good about it, but what about, I mean, there's religious zealots in all religions. What do you think would happen there?
Well, one of the many signs that I was alluding to earlier in the show, George, is the actions of the Catholic Church. Corrado Baducci, who has passed away recently.
We lost another good one.
Corrado, in his retirement, absolutely with the awareness of the Pope and other high officials in the Vatican, was going around talking about the ET issue and why it was not a big deal, why the Catholic Church was fine with it. You know, people paid attention, and he played an important role there. And I gave him an award. I gave him a disclosure award at the X conference. Well, as you know, that is Corrado Baducci, in his late 70s, retired. Not too long ago, the very young, very active head of the Vatican astronomer, Gabriel Funes, just happens to wake up one morning and say, I think I'll tell the press that the Catholic Church has got no problem with extraterrestrials and considers them our brothers under God. You think that's an accident? Do you think there's any chance that he did not do that because he was told to do it? And why would he have been told to do it? The Catholic Church is ready, has been ready for some time. They've known about the ET presence for a very long time. They learned about it primarily through their incalculable number of priests taking confessions throughout the world for the last, 1,500 years?
Yeah.
So So the Catholic Church is ready. The evangelicals are not a problem. I believe they're going to be fine. And if you look and talk to them personally, it's not a problem. Some of their leaders have served them poorly. The Asian religions are as adaptable as they could possibly be. No problem there. The Muslim faith right now, it may be somewhat disconcerting to them because they're under such enormous pressure, going through some difficult times. But overall, I think I can say safely that the religion particularly is more adaptable than any of the other institutions, frankly. I am not worried about religion adapting to this. I don't see a problem. I see more of a risk of some economic fluctuations. And when the outcome, when the dust settles, we're going to be far better off economically when this thing is out and rolling than we are now. So, no, I'm not worried about. In fact, I'll make you a bet. I'll bet you dinner, at the UFO cafe in Sedona, that in the year after disclosure, church membership will go up.
Okay, let's go next to Van Nuys, California. Derek, how are you? Go ahead.
Very good, thank you. Yes, your guest. It's sort of confusing. I've been listening to your show for quite a long time, and there's thousands and thousands of reports, UFO reports throughout, just the United States alone. And it's been documented throughout thousands of years. Even in the Bible, there's things about wheels in the sky turning, the sun falling down, which is a glowing orb. So most of us really do know that this is going on. But now, for disclosure, at this late at night, people could handle the truth. A lot of coast-to-coast listeners could handle the truth. I mean, I've worked in defense, and I've talked to people, and I've seen something unusual myself. So, I mean, disclosure for me, I've already had it myself. I've already seen these things and know about it. Now, for yourself, I was just sort of curious about yourself. Why is disclosure so important to you personally? It seems like almost like you don't believe it yourself, that you need some sort of proof that it does exist. I don't even think you've seen one. Have you seen a UFO yet?
No. But the answer to your question is very straightforward. What you're referring to and what you've experienced is disclosure with a small d. This activist effort is to attain disclosure with a capital D. The formal acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence by the world governments. When that happens, then the universities will start teaching it. The foundations will start funding it. The government will start openly discussing it and researching it. The information will become available. Trust in government will be improved, right? Opportunities will abound, right? This won't take place with small d disclosure. It has to take place with large d disclosure, and that is the difference, and it is a non-trivial difference. Look, in spite of the fact that so many people have seen these things, in spite of the fact that you're aware of it, half the American people poll that they believe UFOs are behind the ET phenomena, not a single university or college in the United States has an accredited course on the subject because they are completely held hostage to the truth embargo. Right? Plus, the media has been compromised at the level of the networks and the major papers. That's not good. So, it's like what the government does matters, Like, a lot of us feel that peace is better than war. But if the government decides to hold a war and send a bunch of people there, guess what? They have to go. So we got to get the government to disclose so that these other things can happen. And that's the reason for the activism.
Stephen, give us your websites again before we take the break and come back with final calls.
The entire Facts on Washington, this whole effort to get a million correspondences to the president-elect, is home-based at factsonwashington.org. That's F-A-X on Washington.org. Main site for Paradigm Research Group with links to everything, paradigmresearchgroup.org. And by the way, I just found out, got an email, Joseph Buckman, in Utah, the paper just announced he's polling at 12%. 12%, and he's been openly calling for disclosure and acknowledging the ET presence in his campaign for almost 8 months. That's cool.
If he gets elected, let's hope he puts his money where his mouth is, right? Back in a moment with Stephen Bassett on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen, in your heart of hearts, what do you think has been going on this planet, and for how long? Since the beginning of mankind, even further?
There's some wonderful work done by some really tough researchers that seem to have found evidence for comings and goings, going back as far as we can know. That's not going to surprise me. I'm concerned about the last 61 years, of course. That's what's in play right now, and that's what's important. But I'm dying. One of the things I'm dying to learn in a post-disclosure world is how far back it does go, what kind of interactions there were, that kind of history. Hopefully that will become available.
And if those rumors that we've heard are true, like MJ-12 and things like that, then I would love to hear those things.
Well, look, there's a history here that's unbelievably critical. This is the most important, I believe, transitional event in all of human history that we know of. going back to at least the flood. And so I'm hope that the government's not storing any documents. I hope they're keeping these records no matter how awkward, and so that we will be able to eventually put the history together, and that the future generations will be able to study carefully everything that happened, particularly from 1947 on. This is heavy stuff, and because of the nature of the secrecy aspect and the other stuff, there's a greater likelihood that the records could be destroyed. It's happened before in history.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And we don't want it to happen this time. And so we will learn a lot, and I'm looking forward to that. But it's hard to know. You know, George, there's so much here. It's important to keep focused. We're not going to learn much until disclosure takes place. It's just that simple. And so our focus needs to be there. Get disclosure, and then we'll go from there. And the opportunity is at hand. I think that if the people step forward right now at this time, they can seal the deal. And finally, we will at least know that this ET presence is real and confirmed and acknowledged. And then we will all engage it together and see what happens. But we've got to act right now. It's critical because something's going to happen. They're going to blow something up. Somebody's going to invade something. You know what I'm talking about? And it all gets put on the back shelf along with everything else. That
oh,
needs
yeah.
to get done.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to send a clear message to the government and to the and also to the media. By the way, whatever the government's response to this, the media, if we can get that level of correspondence, is going to go bonkers, all right?
And they're primed right now.
And if they get rocking, let me tell you, I don't think the embargo could possibly withstand it.
To the phones we go again, west of the Rockies. Adam, take it away. Hi, Adam.
Say the spring comes around, the election's over, the new president's in, the spring comes around, and all your efforts, but good job, by the way, you're excellent. I really wish there was more people like you out there. But let's say that nothing happens like we want to. Let's say we tried, but not enough letters went in, or something happened like that, and nothing seems to be going forward. Do you support doing another one, doing it again, putting the pressure on again? I recommend that we keep the pressure on.
Oh, absolutely. I
recommend that we everybody out there needs to get involved with this. It's up to us to put the pressure on the government. And, you know, one other thing is that I heard stories about when Ronald Reagan was president, about, you know, when he made that famous speech at the UN about an alien threat, that Colin Powell was working closely with Brent Reagan in those days. And Colin Powell was actually having to keep telling Reagan, oh, you can't talk about that. You can't talk about that. We've got to take it out of your speech. And Reagan put it back in his speech or stuff like that. I know that Colin Powell knows about it. Let's send a million faxes to Colin Powell also or something like that. I don't know. I'll take it off the air. Thank you.
Well, look, your point is clear. The pressure is not going to stop. If this million faxes is even remotely successful, we're going to have a whole lot of new options come next year. The X conference will take place April 17 through 19 at the Hilton Gaithersburg, x-conference.com. More witnesses are going to go forward. More news articles are going to take place. More documents are going to be dumped out of the UK. And yeah, if we can get some funding, boy, if I could get my hands on about $200,000, let me tell you, I could do some stuff in Washington D.C. But we will use every advocacy tool we have, and we are relentless. This is simply not going to stop. And I think the government knows this. Look, I believe the government stopped actively supporting the embargo in around late 1999, believe it or not. And the thing has really been running on its momentum for the last 8 years. We have a lot of allies on the inside, too. But it's not guaranteed. Your point is well taken. It's not guaranteed. What if it doesn't happen? We'll deal with that. But I can assure you, and I can assure the government if they're listening, that we are not going to relent. This is too big to step down from. But first, let's get a million letters, faxes, and emails to the president-elect, see what happens.
Let's go back to the phones. Kim in Utah, first-time caller. Hey, Kim.
Hey, listen, this is a great program tonight, as always, George.
Thank you, Kim.
And, Stephen, I've got to ask you, you sound like the spokesperson for the Democratic Friday Night Surprise with this Apollo program and so forth. Do you know anything about the Republicans? Are they going to have a Friday Night Surprise, too?
Let me make it very clear. I'm very much worried that people, if their candidate doesn't win, right, on Tuesday, that they may say, well, what the hell, I don't need to write a letter to the president-elect. It's not the one I voted for. No. This is not a Democrat or a Republican thing. Both parties are under great pressure to do this. We need to send that letter, whoever wins. I know a lot more about the Democrats' positions here and some of the things that have happened with respect to Clinton and Podesta and Richardson and so many others and others. Less about the Republicans. They may be more committed to this than the Democrats. I just don't know. But there are positives. In other words, as I mentioned, McCain has such good ties with the military intelligence community. That's very favorable from a post-disclosure perspective. So, but again, I don't know. I'm not predicting a win for either one. I know the Democrats are ahead. And I'm not saying that disclosure will be go better under one party or another. This is much too big and complex a matter to say. I'm just trying to lay it out the way that it is, all right, and have people look at it as closely as possible. And to try to depoliticize it to the extent that I can, it is not a political partisan issue. This is a global special issue, and it must be resolved on the benefit of the entire planet and all that live here, because the issues at stake are affecting everybody, and we're now so connected, whether we want to be or not, that when huge parts of our world go down, we all go down with it. So that's best I can say. If I knew more about this internal specifics of the Republican interest here, I would certainly relay them. I just don't know right now.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Rochester, New York. Hello, Joyce. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Thank you
Hi.
For taking my call.
Hi, Joyce.
Sure.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
I have a lot of respect for what you're trying to do. I think it's important.
You're welcome.
My comment and question would be, I guess I'm wondering about the timing of this. Such a massive campaign the day after an election, might it not help you strategically or from a public relations stance to put a little distance there, you know, let the new guy, whoever it may be, change the locks before this kind of a media assault? And that's really what you referred to it as earlier, that the media, quote unquote, would go nuts.
Yes.
Is this the best timing for it with everything else that this country is facing?
Here's why the timing is ideal. First of all, once the president takes office on January 20, a lot of things on the plate. A lot less on the plate during the transition period. Plus, the transition period is an extremely slow news, political news time, and the press is going to be looking for stories. Secondly, by getting this into play during the transition, right, by having the people make their statement clear and bold early on, that gives them the opportunity in a much more private way to plan and decide what to do, right, before they actually have to take office, to make some discreet inquiries and what have you. And then if the press gets worked up, great. It's less likely to take away from other matters. This is a very slow time of year. It's the perfect time to give the media something powerful like this to work on. It's like the perfect storm in a way. It's much harder to penetrate to a sitting president who is faced with all this stuff, and you got to send your stuff to the White House. We need to do it during this transition period for all of these reasons and other reasons. And the ultimate timing, well, look, the truth embargo should have happened probably under George H.W. Bush's second administration. We should have happened right around 1993. We're already 15 years late, and you know what's happened in the last 15 years, right? So we really can't wait any longer. It's got to happen now. The sooner the better.
Next up, let's go to Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Dan. Take it away.
Morning, George, Steve.
Morning, Dan.
Morning.
Great show. I was wondering, how do you know the aliens would allow disclosure?
I don't know. But here's what we do know, that however advanced their technology, they certainly are seen a lot. We see them coming and going. We've got photographs. We've got videos. We've got tens of thousands of contact reports being reported. Memories apparently are not being blocked that effectively. They're just rather ostentatious. Now, they don't go so far as to fly a couple hundred major ships over New York and Washington, which would scare the hell out of everybody and certainly end the matter right then and there. But discreet they are not. And so the conclusion from that, there's only two possibilities. One, that they really are forcing the issue, or they don't care. And, you know, whichever one it is, that's not the same thing as blocking disclosure. I've heard rumors that they would threaten the government if the government were to go formal on this. Well, you know, if that's the case, they sure aren't helping the government, right? Because, my Lord, enough UFOs have flown over Mexico. Well, I think, what is it? Jaime Musson got like 8,000 videos now. The sightings keep up. So I calculate, I think it's a good educated guess, that in fact they are driving the disclosure process down below by their ostentatious presence above. Now, why would they be driving a self-disclosure process? I believe it's because that's the least destructive and most appropriate way to go. And that once you have that self-disclosure occur, and then you have an acclimation period, then it's very possible that full open contact will take place, and that's a whole other ball of wax, and I don't have to deal with that yet, thank God.
Let's go to Delaware. Roger, you're on with Stephen Bassett on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, I think, you know, when disclosure happens, the first thing the press is going to want is experts who've been researching it for years, such as you guys. But at the same time, they're going to have abduction researchers on there like David Jacobs or Bud Hopkins, and you're going to have them telling millions of people that, yeah, well, the aliens are abducting, you know, generations of families and parents and children and like, and I think that might be a little harder for people to swallow.
Well, the founders of this country created a state that was open, free speech, and John Adams in particular wanted a public education system so that we could have the knowledge and the information to be able to deal with what's what. And so we will have an intellectual free-for-all, not free-for-all, but it's going to be dynamic. There's going to be a tremendous amount of information coming out. People will express their opinions and views, and we'll sort through it all. It's going to be better than cable, let me tell you. There'll be debate and discussion. There'll be contention. But that's living. That's life. That's what you want. That's why we went through all this trouble, right? So that we weren't just going to be a bunch of serfs out plowing the grounds while the king partied. We're going to be fully engaging the universe, and it'll be fun. And some of us are going to get angry and upset, and some will disagree. But in time, it will sort itself out. Hopefully not too long. 2-3 years, tops. Then 2012, around December, full open contact. And the aliens and us will all party. I joke here. I don't know when there's going to be open contact. I know this, that, you know, given how much activity is going on, it ain't going to surprise me, and I don't think anybody will be surprised if open contact were to take place in a couple of years.
Redding, California. Mark, thank you for holding. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, George. This is Mark Candlish. I was one of the Disclosure Project witnesses, and I
Stephen Bassett.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Absolutely.
I have to say, George, that of course none of this would be possible without your program, and I have to say that I have always admired Stephen's level of preparation. He's got the answers. He's got the responses. He's right there. Boom, boom, boom. It's wonderful how well thought out everything that you are presenting has been. I can't tell you how impressed I am. But I do have to agree with you that one of the things that you've said here is that you're afraid that something will get blown up and that this will divert the process of disclosure and so forth. And I think that's kind of what happened with 9/11, as we saw, you know, 6 months after our 2001 in May National Press Club presentation. But I have contacts in the military that have already told me that they have seen plans that are being prepared for a possible McCain administration to go into Iran and blow up those two nuclear facilities that are there right now being built by the Russians. It's on paper right now. In fact, I've been told that it was one of the reasons why the Russians actually went into Georgia in anticipation of better strategic placement for their forces because, you know, Georgia is right on the other side of Turkey from Iran. And we have logistical support bases like in Sirlik Air Base in Turkey that support any kind of an operation that would go into Iran if that kind of a thing were to happen. So you're absolutely right. This is the kind of thing that we have to try and prevent from happening because it would be the perfect excuse to, as you say, divert public attention away from this kind of an issue.
Sure. Let me comment. First of all, I happen to think disclosure might have taken place in late 2001, 2002. The Disclosure Project's press conference on May the 9th, 2001 was a big deal. Some people don't think so. I know it was. There were things in the works that could have led to some very interesting developments, but 9/11 changed all that. Stephen Greer has paid his dues. He's been at this since 1988 or something. I mean, that's a long time. He was in it long before I got into it. But in terms of what may or may not happen, in terms of our policy, foreign policy, war policy, and everything else, I mean, obviously I can't address those things. I'm not an expert there, and I certainly can't really divert it one way or the other. All I can say is this. I would prefer
that before we make any more decisions to invade any more countries, blow up any more nuclear reactors, launch any missiles, or do anything that draconian, that first we be informed about the extraterrestrial presence, be made aware about this technology that might be able to bring us eventually off oil and transform the social-political dynamics of this world. Let us be aware of those things. Have that knowledge, which we have every right to have, and we paid for it with big bucks. And then if everyone decides they need to go blow up something, fine, okay, then you do it. But this idea that we continue these policies in the dark with major information like this withheld, that's a recipe for catastrophe. And so all I can do is to try to direct the American people's attention and their actions towards effectuating this disclosure event. And if we can put enough letters in the mail November 5th and onward, I think we're going to get it. And with, if we're luck, we'll get it before somebody blows something else up.
Steve,
and by the way, Mark, thanks for your persistence and involvement. You're one of the witnesses. You guys are the heroes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're all heroes. Everybody's sticking their necks out. Now it's starting to come out, as you said, Stephen. More and more people are beginning to publicize the fact that they knew things, they were involved, and it's truly remarkable, isn't it?
Every witness that comes forward makes it easier for the next one, George.
Absolutely. Stephen, I'll see you in Las Vegas on Friday, and then you're going to be there for the rest of the weekend, I take it, right?
Yep, I'll be there on the weekend and on to Sedona for the 12th, Wednesday, down there at the Creative Life Center. And we'll all be together with Ryan Wood, who puts a wonderful conference on there. UFOconference.com is the website. Still time to sign up. The Tuscany Suites, great hotel, wonderful venue.
Absolutely. Stephen Bassett, thank you so much. For Jason Bowers, Wayne Roberts, Karis Coburn, Dan Galanti, Tom Danheiser, Gina Salvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. Man, we got an army of people. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.